Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Ray Heinisch. I am joined here with Blythe Wagner, and that is take 15, right, Blythe?
Yeah, it's going to take a little while for all of us to get used to, I think. But yes, I have changed my last name. It is officially Blythe Wagner, although I am still the Blythe Ahlberg you all know and love.
That's right. So in today's show, we have a fun topic, I think.
Yeah, I think today's topic is going to be one of our best.
Yeah, it's the 10 life obstacles that get in our way of achieving our health and weight loss goals, right?
Yeah, super fun things. Everybody will be able to relate to one or more of these.
All right, great. Any housekeeping before we get started?
I'm really, really liking the feedback that we're getting for our coaching club. We've got a really fun membership base going on right now, or I shouldn't even say fun membership base, a community. We have a great community, fun-loving people, males and females, and I am just having a whole bunch of fun with this. Also, I'm really, really enjoying the fact that people are sending us messages, asking questions, posting things up on our Cut the Fat Facebook page, whether they're inquiring about, just personal goals or something, or posting up like we mentioned in our last podcast with questions about goals and things like that. I love the fact that people are being interactive with us. That's my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Absolutely. So definitely continue, guys, to be involved in the communities that we have and in the podcast. So thank you guys for listening. Why don't we get started with the topic?
Okay.
All right. 10 lifestyle obstacles that get in the way of achieving your weight loss goals.
All right. So number one is all sizzle, no steak. And what this means is basically you're collecting magazines, recipes. All of these things are great artillery. You're creating an overload of important information to help you with your health and fitness goals. But once you've got all of this gathered together, you're not taking action. And you know what I think the main reason is for that, when people are so good at gathering the information, but they have difficulty taking action, is because they've got so much information, they can't put their thumb on a starting point.
Right. I think that's true. I also think that the information overload it overwhelms people. It never ends, right, Blythe? There's never a point where you've gathered up everything there is out there about health, fitness, and weight loss. It keeps coming. There's always new information coming out. There's always new strategies and tactics. And because of that, you never feel complete, right? You never feel like, okay, now I've got what I need. Let's get into the action phase.
Right. You're never going to find the answer. There's never like one, just the answer. So people are continually searching and looking. And I think you're absolutely right when you say that.
And there's another problem that is developing in people because of this information overload. I call it the Joneses syndrome. Do you know what that is? Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, actually I have.
Yeah. So, when you think of keeping up with the Joneses, mm-hmm. you're thinking about it's never enough money, right? You never feel like you have enough money to keep up with the Joneses, right?
Right. So you have to kind of set your own bar for you. Yes.
And the problem with the information overload is the fact that you learn so many different tactics and strategies that it makes one lifestyle change seem almost insignificant. So what ends up happening is, let's say the water, we're talking about drinking water. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel like that's not enough. Why? Because they've got 150 different tactics and strategies floating in their brain that they feel they need to implement all of them all at once in order to have any kind of significant impact on their weight. And that's just not true.
Right. And I wish people would really just take a step back. Don't let this piece of information that we're giving you just go in, come in one ear and go out the other, because this is really important to understand, to get a good grasp on where you intend to go this time around. Make this time around your last time around.
Right. And just like keeping up with the Joneses, you'll never be rich enough to feel like you're top of the heap, because there's always going to be somebody wealthier than you. Just like that, you're never going to feel like you're complete, because there will always be new information coming out. So you've got to take a stand and say, I have enough already within me to make major, major progress. And then that brings us to kind of the solution. Well, what's the solution with this? I've got a couple, and then I'm going to open it up and let you take over.
Okay.
The first one is a mantra, and the mantra is do the boring stuff. We talk about how weight loss is really about the fundamentals. It's really about what you eat, drink, how you sleep, stress, and move. Those are the fundamentals. You've got to get them down. That's the boring stuff, the stuff that makes all the difference. So if you don't do the boring stuff, guess what? You don't succeed. No matter how many tactics and strategies, how many advanced tactics, strategies, tools you have in your arsenal, if you don't do the boring stuff, you don't succeed. So that's your mantra. Do the boring stuff.
You know what? You said that. And I was like, but I don't want to do the boring stuff. That's what I was saying to myself in my head when you said that. So, there's so much truth to that. But go ahead and finish, and I'll tack on to the end of that.
Well, my only other strategy is the it could be you approach. So here in the States, I don't know where you're listening, but we have the lottery, right? Where people can buy a lottery ticket, win millions of dollars with that lottery ticket. And their tagline is, it could be you, right? So they're telling you it's probably not going to be you, but it could be you. So in our circumstances, it could be this change. So if you're talking about adding water into the mix, you've got to tell yourself, it could be this change that starts making all of the difference in my lifestyle. It could be this 15-minute walk after dinner that could tip the scales in my favor, where the weight and the fat starts to burn away. We've talked about how weight loss is this step-by-step approach where, if you're stacking books on top of each other to get to the cookie jar, every book counts, not just the last one you put on the pile to make it so that you can reach the cookies. It's every book in that stack that matters. It could be this change, this little tiny shift in my lifestyle that can make all of the difference.
And let me just add on to that. It's going to probably be, I'm going to throw a percentage out there. 90% of those changes are going to be the boring ones that make the biggest difference. So you might be working really hard. You've established a new workout routine. Maybe you're just not drinking enough water. You start drinking enough water, and that's like the magic happens. So it's
Right.
probably going to be one of those boring things that we just put off and don't want to do because we feel as if they're not as important, when really, like you said, they're the fundamentals. And I have to tell you that your cookie jar analogy, I use that almost every single day now. I love it. I'm like, it's so simple. It makes so much sense. You need all of these things to stack the books so you can get what you want.
Right. And you never, ever, ever forget that every single book, the big ones, the little ones, every single book on that pile ultimately got you to the cookie jar. It's not just the big encyclopedias that you pile in there. It's the little magazines, the thin little magazines that don't seem to make a significant impact. But in the end, without it, you can't reach the cookie.
That's absolutely right. So number two, what did you come up with for number two,
The number
Ray? I love
two
this one.
is the spousal bucket block. The spousal bucket block. And this is when you announce to the world that you're on a diet and the spouse that night brings home a bucket of fried chicken. So again, I don't know where you're listening, but here in the States, you buy your fried chicken in the form of a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, you just get a cardboard bucket full of chicken with a
That's
lid on
right.
it. You take it home, 8 pieces, feeds the whole family, and it's like $20 or something. So,
How common, Blythe, is this issue? The spousal bucket block. How
Well,
common is it in your patients and clients where they come to you, they get started on this new lifestyle change, and then they come back and they say, my spouse, my husband, my wife is trying to sabotage me?
at least half. And I said at least half. I didn't say it might be half. I said at least
least
half.
half.
And I just call it, spousal support, but I like the bucket block because that really just drives the nail home. When you are not at, I don't want to say at the same level, because I'm not, we're not judging each other or saying you need to be in a certain place in your life. But when you and your spouse are not on the same page, whether it's, you know, one of you has been a workout fiend forever and your husband has never joined you in working out, and all of a sudden, you know, you're maybe experiencing menopause or something and you've put on 20 pounds and you're trying to get your husband to go work out with you. He might not be the person that you want to reach out to support you, and work out with you. So this is a tricky one. Not saying that spouses can't be supportive, but that's a conversation that needs to happen before the fried chicken comes home.
Right. And so the question is, there are two questions you have to ask yourself when you're faced with this obstacle. And that is, number one, is it sabotage? Because the people we love sabotage our change because the things they use to manipulate us stop working. And I've said this in previous podcasts, but it is a reality. And it doesn't make sense in the brain because you think, well, this person loves me. Right. How could they do this? And it's a subconscious process. You know, when you are down, and this is going to bring me to the second thing, when you're feeling low, the way that they manipulate that situation is oftentimes by, you know, two or three different strategies that they have in their toolbox. When you become somebody else, when you go from somebody who is just, you know, letting the reins out and eats anything and sits on the couch, the tools that they use to manipulate the situation stop working because those right. things are no longer how you go about changing or altering your state. So the sabotage is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes the spouse doesn't want you to thin out because they're afraid mm-hmm. you're going to go out and find somebody else. That mm-hmm. We do see that. We do see that mm-hmm. situation where spouses do kind of block this in an attempt to prevent you from feeling more confident and attractive, so that because in their mind, they think that means they're going to find somebody else who is not
right.
them.
And I think the seed of that is that change is a little bit scary. And when you're the one who's not implementing the change and it's happening in your life, but you're not in charge of it, that can make you feel like you're really not in control and create some sort of insecurity.
Right. And friends do the same thing. You know, you may yeah. have, you know, you may have a friend who's overweight and they start to see that you're thinning out, and their fear is that you're going to leave them for a new, fitter group of people. And the truth mm-hmm. is that may happen naturally because as you change, you're no longer the same person. And it's not about physicality. It's about right. the fact that now you have more activity in your life. You've got more mm-hmm. active hobbies. You eat different types of foods. Mm-hmm. And there's a natural shift and change that happens that if they decide to come along, wonderful. And you guys will grow together. If not, sometimes you have to be ready to at least pause the friendship for a while until they kind of come along and figure out that, you know, the lifestyle isn't that healthy. Does that sound bad to say that? But
no, not at all. I think you end up kind of just naturally surrounding yourself with people who have the same interests. And if right. you have taken an interest in eating healthier food, well, you're going to go to the people who or hang out with the people who go to those restaurants and prefer that. So that's just natural. It's a natural shift. But what I do want to say there is that the people who feel maybe inferior, maybe the people who decide that they're not quite ready to join you in that, they almost create an opposite sort of change in their lives where basically it's not up to you at that point. Right. They are creating something that they need to deal with on their end. So that can be a sticky situation. You know, I remember dealing with that several years ago, where I used to bring my own chicken breast, my own salad dressing to restaurants, and they just weren't supportive. It was just, they were like, really? Can't you just eat a chicken breast from Olive Garden? Or, you know, can't you just eat what's wrong with the food here? And I'm like, guys, I have a goal. This is what I'm trying to do. And eventually either I embarrassed them enough and they didn't want to go out to dinner with me anymore, or it was just, you know, kind of phased out.
And that's going to come up in a different obstacle later down the line too, right?
It is. Yes.
So the first question is it sabotage? The second question you have to ask is it love? Is it love that causes them to want to do this? Because in the early stages of lifestyle change, life begins to suck for a while, doesn't it, Blythe? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. when you're making the shift from being able to eat anything that comes across your visual field to no longer being able to do that, it causes a little bit of pain within your system, within your body, within your brain. And what does your loved one want to do whenever you're in pain? They want to get you out of pain. Right. And sometimes, especially if you have a really unhealthy lifestyle, sometimes the only way they know how to do that is to feed you or to appease you. And by food and appeasement are two of the ways that many, many people change the state of the person they love. So when I say appeasement, you know what I mean is when you say, I don't know if I want to go to the gym, but I'm so tired. They'll jump on that and they'll say, just go tomorrow. Right. It's that appeasement that they're trying. And the reason they're doing that is not because they're trying to sabotage you in this case. They're trying to make you feel better. Right.
Right. Right. Oh, they're doing it with good intent. They're doing it from love. It's coming from love because they just want you to be comfortable. My husband likes to do it with wine. Mm. So he's like, oh, you're not, you know, you don't really feel like cooking dinner. Well, why don't we do this and we can have a glass of wine? And I'm like, okay. I mean, I really like wine. I mean, yeah. I enjoy a glass of wine, but every night of the week is just not going to help me reach the goals that I want to reach. So we've had to have that conversation, and it pains me not to have a glass of wine some nights. I'm going to be truthful, but you know, we got to do what we got to do. And you've got to make sure you draw that line in the sand and let them know that you appreciate what they're doing, and you recognize, because this is really important for, especially if it's a spouse, letting them know that you recognize what they're doing and that you appreciate their feelings and emotions behind it. But the goal is the bigger picture at the moment. So you like the fact that they're trying to appease you, but if they could do it this way, it would be more helpful.
Right. You've got to give them new tools to change your state, because that's what your loved one wants to do. They want to make you happy, and you've got to give them new ways to help make you happy. So think about those things. We really can't tell you how to do that, because everybody finds happiness in different ways or joy in different ways. So just think on that and train your spouse in different mechanisms and different tactics for making you happy. Cool.
I tried not to use that word, but it came out anyway. Okay, the next one. This is a big one.
Now, we had to think, I like to go through and think of funny, you know, kind of fun ways to describe these things. The third obstacle is kids.
I think it's a capital K-I-D-S.
Kids. There's no other need for any kind of creative way of describing it. It's kids.
Are we talking about your life? No, we have all been there, you know, and it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. You know, one of the things they never talk about when you first, you know, when you have your first child is you don't get to just wake up 10 minutes before you have to leave the house, hop in the shower, get dressed real quick, brush your teeth and go. That doesn't work anymore. You now, everything takes more time. You've got a whole nother responsibility, a whole nother set of food. You've got diapers, you've got bottles. Depends on how many hours you're going to be out. You know, it's very, very, becomes very strategic at that stage of life when you're brand new at having kids. And as they get older, it's, well, they just eat every 30 minutes. You know, that might, that's kind of the stage I'm at right now. Got two boys and all they do is eat. So stopping and getting food is something that could happen every single day whenever we're in the car going to whatever sporting event we're going to. Being prepared takes effort, and depending on what stage of life you're in with your kids, you have to figure out what it's going to take to be prepared. And I'm not just talking about food, you know, exercise, making time for you, the guilt feeling that comes with not taking the time to take care of you because you have kids. It's this weird cycle that I think we all go through, and it's a great experience. And kind of by the end of it, when you come out the other end, you're like, geez, it's all so clear now. But at the beginning, it's clear as mud.
If you think of food like arrows coming at you, right? When you're single, it's like one arrow is coming at you. You're single or you're in a relationship with somebody, but you don't have a family, you don't have kids. Mm-hmm. It's like one arrow is coming at you. And you know what? Sometimes you get shot in the chest with that arrow and you eat a bag of Oreos. But most of the time, you can dodge that single arrow. you can dodge it because it's only one arrow coming at you. But when you have families, and if food is arrows, it's like when you have three kids, they all want to eat. And sometimes they want to eat at different times. It's like having a dozen arrows coming at you all at once. You may dodge one or two, but eventually one's going to get you in the chest.
And sometimes there's a little fistful of food coming at your face.
Right.
And you're like, I don't want to not, you know, I remember some stages back in my life where I was prepping for shows and working really, really hard at that stuff and kind of building my nutritional business. And I wouldn't let them put one rice puff in my mouth. You know, I kind of feel bad about those days. But, you know, that's an arrow. You know, that cute little fist of food coming your way, it's hard to avoid.
Yeah, you know, kids have something called youthful reserve, which allows them to basically eat a lot of food and not get gain weight or not, you know, not wake up diseased. Mm-hmm, they just have this youthful reserve where their body can handle that without a lot of, you know, outward consequence. And we kind of get caught up. It's very easy to get caught up in the one for you, two for me syndrome, right? You're making our lunch. Here's one for you, two for me. You know, one for you, two for me. And so you got to be careful about that. You know, I read a book once that's called Loving You is Making Me Fat. And it was talking about this whole dynamic about how when you're, you know, family, when you have a family or you even get in a relationship with somebody, things shift and change in your life that oftentimes make things that work for you in the past no longer work anymore. So you've got to be really careful about that.
You have to create a new plan.
Right. And you know, I've given this a lot of thought since I've been married now about 5 years. And you know, families really are a transfer of energy. Okay. So when you're newlyweds, you're transferring that energy both ways. Like you give them some, they give you some back. And it's like it's a zero sum game. And sometimes, you know, and that's good for a family when you have that zero sum game where, you know, you're helping them, they're helping you, you're massaging their feet, they're massaging your feet. And it's just this back and forth of energy transfer. When kids come along, kids are a one-way transfer of energy. They take and they give very little back. Sure, you know, when you have a three-year-old give you a kiss on the cheek, it does give you a little bit of energy back. But in general, kids take without giving back. So you've got to be really, really careful about that because it's very easy to drain that bucket of energy that you wake up with in the morning very quickly and you end up with nothing at night. And then that makes it very easy to give in to temptation. So you've got to learn to take care of yourself first. If you do not do that, you will ultimately run out of willpower juice and you will give in to tasty treats and that couch that calls you like a siren into the rocks.
Mm-hmm. This is going to take us into my next one, but I want you to finish here. But that's a really important point that you just remind me, and I jotted it down because the next one is kind of a two-way street, and it's interesting. I'm just excited.
Go ahead. Go on to the next one.
Chomping at the bit. Okay, so the next one is what I call the peer pressure cooker. And what I think most people listening can relate to is maybe at work, there's a birthday. You know, we talk about that stuff all the time. There's a lady who just joined the gym that my husband and I run, and she owns a bakery. Guess what she brings in every single day? She is wonderful. She's doing it from her heart. Chocolate-filled croissants every day. And yesterday, it was ones with like a big bunch of cream cheese frosting. So there's always going to be an excuse to break down and eat something like that. So the peer pressure cooker is, come on, one's not going to hurt you. Okay, so I'm at the point where these croissants are coming every day and they just don't look as appealing as they did last week. Day one, I was like, oh, what? When's the last time? Like the sun was shining down from the sky and I was like, she knew I was starving. Okay. Did I break down? Okay. I had a bite, but I'm the type of person who could just have a bite and be like, I'm good with that. So anyway, moving forward, there's also a side to this of the peer pressure cooker where you have the unsupportive people. So not the people that are just trying to break you down, but you have the people that are actually working against you. So I saw I think it was like a meme one time on Instagram or something, and it was a fit mom holding a baby on her hip and her two other young children that were probably ages 2 and 3 playing in the sand. And it was like her having a phone conversation saying, yeah, but all of my girlfriends give me a hard time for choosing a salad when we go out. So she chose to take her kids to the beach and spend a day with the family rather than going out and having a girls' night is what it was, or a girls' luncheon or whatever it was. Because you can be fit and hanging out with other fit people, but just because they feel like they want to go out and have cocktails, if you decide that you don't want to have cocktails and eat pizza, they almost like make you feel bad for ordering a salad and drinking water. You know, they put this pressure on you to try to get you to conform to the choice that they are making for themselves that day. And that's a really difficult, uncomfortable place to be, especially when they're like your friends and you all have kids and you get like one night a month to hang out, or, you know, one afternoon a month to hang out. And during this time, they're making you feel bad about the choices that you're making.
Because you're making them feel bad about choices.
That's right. So I've been there a zillion times, and that's something you have just got to stick to your guns. So what I like to maybe not warn people of, but what I like people to keep in the back of their minds is that at some point in time along your fitness journey, this is going to happen to you. Be prepared. They're not doing it to hurt you. It's because of them, not you. That was one of the peer pressure cooker things. The other one was like, you know, if every Friday night everybody wants to go out and have a happy hour and you want to partake in that, make it every other week. You know, you do have control over these things. I've got a lot of clients who work out of town and they travel a lot for work. They're stuck in hotel rooms and they're like, well, you know what? We got to have the meeting downstairs in the hotel restaurant. I'm not sure what's going to be there. There is a healthy choice that can be made. Go in knowing that you get to choose whatever you want to choose. Don't let the people that you're sitting in the meeting with decide what you're going to eat for dinner, unless that's part of your job. If it's going to cost you your job or whatever, don't listen to me. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how other people are feeling about what you're doing as long as you know what you're doing.
Absolutely. That's really great. Really, really well done. And let me just add one quick little hack, all right, to this, because this is a very common problem. And I'll tell you, this is the little trap. This is how they get you is, you know, you're sitting around the table and everybody's ordering big bowls of pasta and stuff. And then they look over and you're like, you're eating grilled chicken on a salad. And they're like, I see that you're eating a salad and chicken there. Are you, you on a diet? That's the trap, right?
They call
want
you out.
They want you to say, yes, I'm on XYZ diet, because they can't wait to drill holes in that
to
diet.
To punch holes in it.
So here's the hack. When somebody says, looks like you're eating a salad and chicken there. Are you on a diet? Here's what you do. You tell them, no, I'm not on a diet. I'm just trying to eat a little healthier. I'm just trying to, you know, change my overall lifestyle. Why? Because nobody wants to hear about your overall lifestyle. Nobody wants to hear about you just being healthier. They want to hear about the XYZ diet so they can punch holes in it. When you say, nah, I'm just trying to live healthier, you know, and eat a little bit better, and it instantly causes them to change their direction. They no longer want to hear about it because nobody wants
and
to hear
works.
About the boring stuff.
Yeah, and that works. And you can even say, you know what, you can lie. Say, I had a really heavy breakfast or I had a really heavy lunch. You know what, if that makes you feel better about telling them that, fine. But don't let people pressure cook you into making choices that you just don't want to make.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That, I love that one. That one comes up a lot.
It does. Very good.
I like that one.
Let's go on to number five, which is the weekend weakening. The weekend weakening. Huge, huge problem for a lot of people. It's where you do great during the week, and then the weekend rolls around, and all of a sudden, the floodgates open, and every single sweet and treat in the house ends up in your stomach.
Why do you
Saturday
think this
morning.
Happens?
It happens because of what I call contextual behavior and mindset. Okay, this is my philosophy or my hypothesis, and that is your thoughts and actions have a tendency to change according to context, and by context I mean day, time, and location. I'll give you a good example. Another example, which I call the carpet quicksand. Okay, you may arrive home from work with the best intentions. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna change. I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm gonna have a really good workout. Come home, eat a great meal. But the problem is, this carpet quicksand happens. You get home. The longer you stand in the carpet quicksand, the harder it is going to be for you to get to the gym.
Yeah, agreed.
Because it's context. You have a different mindset at home than you do at work. Usually at work, you have an accomplishment mindset. And at home, you have a chill kind of mindset. You want to hop on the couch. And the longer you stay in that environment, the harder it's going to be to do the right thing.
Right. You know, something that some of our listeners might be able to relate to as well is – Sometimes everyone in my house leaves at a different time. You know, even the kids go to school at different times. They come home at different times. So when I get home at the end of the afternoon, I come home and the house is a mess. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I start picking things up. And if I do that, I'm knee deep in the quicksand.
There it
like,
is.
I have to stop. And even though I work in a gym, doesn't mean that it's simple for me to get away and work out. I have to leave and come back with a different mindset so I can go work out. Because if I just continue on from my day of the administrative side of things, then I continue doing that. So it's kind of like hitting a reset button. So come home to just hit that quick reset button and then head right back out the door.
Right. So I've got two strategies for you for this one. Strategy number one goes right along those lines. It's called the 5-second rule. This is a rule that I learned from a woman named Mel Robbins. She has a book called The 5-Second Rule, and she teaches people, you know, when you feel like you are not confident, like when you're losing your confidence and you want to change something about yourself and you're feeling that fear build up, she has the 5-second rule, which is you're going to count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you immediately jump in and do the thing that you're afraid to do.
Ah, okay.
And so the same thing happens with home. When you feel the carpet quicksand coming on, you say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you walk right up the stairs and you get your clothes on and you just go. You don't think about it. So that falls right in line with the second technique, which is the zombie walk technique. This is a technique that we teach in the community, in the Cut the Fat Coaching Club. And that is, the zombie walk technique goes by the premise that the more you think about something, the less likely you are to do it. So if you're thinking that, oh, I'm just going to give myself every reason why I need to go to the gym, the more you think about reasons to go to the gym, the less likely you are to actually go to the gym. That's the psychological principle. So the zombie walk technique is simply clear, empty your mind. Don't think about going. Don't think about staying. Just empty your mind. Do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and start walking up the stairs like a zombie. Get your clothes on like a zombie. Walk out the door like a zombie. Walk to the gym like a zombie and do your workout and be done with it.
Cool. I like that a lot. So I'm going to just tell a little quick story about the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the 5-second rule. So I don't know if anybody here is friends with me on Facebook, but did you see, Ray, that I went bungee jumping on my honeymoon?
I did.
Okay. Well, guess what? They use the 5-second rule. You get 2 opportunities to jump when you're standing on the side of that bridge. And if you don't do it by the second time, there are other people who have to go. They're not going to talk you off the ledge. You either jump or you don't do it. Jump or get off. So they do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I will tell you that if you have never put yourself in a position like that, something you might want to think about, because I'm definitely not scared of heights anymore. But that's beside the point. If you are in the mindset of, when I get to 1, I will jump, then there's something in your brain that actually makes you jump. Because I will tell you, when you're standing on the side of a bridge looking over, your every instinct in your body is telling you, hold on, don't let go. You're about to die, basically. Don't do this. So every instinct in your body is telling you no. Every physical thing that is happening with you is like, no. But if you do, if you already have told yourself, they train you before you go. You know, you've got like this hour-long seminar that you sit through. So you recognize all of these things as they're happening. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you just go. And it actually works. So not only does it work just for getting out and going to the gym, but with anything. You can apply that to probably just about anything in life.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great, great example of the implementation and how effective it is.
Yeah. Well, the last time I heard someone say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, except you just now, was right before I jumped off the bridge. And I was like, I had like a little mini anxiety.
Perfect.
A little flash of anxiety.
Absolutely perfect.
Okay, the next one.
It's called kryptonite dust. And this is an interesting concept, but it's so important. And we'll just run through these last few because, you know, I know that this episode's going long. But
I know, we're chatty today.
Dave Osprey, you know, he's written a number of books. He's the Bulletproof Coffee guy,
you know.
The Bulletproof Executive was his first book, and he's got, I think, a couple books after that. But one thing he talks about is how, you know, Superman is obviously, his weakness is kryptonite. So Lex Luthor, who's the big supervillain, would oftentimes get a big chunk of kryptonite and try to use it to kill Superman. But he goes on to say, well, it would make a whole lot more sense. It would be far more effective if Lex Luthor were to take that big chunk of kryptonite and grind it up into dust. And then while Superman is sleeping, sneak into his domicile and sprinkle it on everything. Sprinkle it on his keyboard, sprinkle it on the bed, on the couch, in his food, in his water. And then what would happen is over time, he would grow weaker and weaker and weaker. So he'd still be able to fly. He'd still be able to go out and save people. But right. He wouldn't have the same level of energy and motivation that he did prior to that. So he would be weakened over time without realizing that it's happening. The same thing he goes on to talk about happens to us in our lifestyle is that we, you know, it's not one big thing that gets us. It's all the little poisons that are in our lifestyle. It's the sugar that we're eating all the time. It's the lack of sleep. It's the stress. It's the toxins in the food that we eat, the pesticides and things that interfere with the function of thyroid and hormones within our body. It's the stress and the of work and, you know, all of these different tiny little toxins that we're exposed to and poisoned so slowly that we don't even realize it's happening. So he just basically is making the point that don't allow yourself to be boiled to death. You know, if you've heard that story of, you know, if you drop a frog into boiling water, they'll jump out really quick. But if you put them in regular cold water and then you slowly heat it up so to the point where it boils, they'll boil themselves to death without jumping out. It's the same kind of thing that happens. We become acclimated to this slow poisoning that happens, and we don't realize it's occurring until we've given up on our lifestyle program, or right. You know, we've just gained all the weight back. So find those small little poisons that we're allowing into our lifestyle and try to remove them one at a time.
There you go. Yeah, one at a time is key there. You know, don't try to bite off so much that you can't chew it. Just right. One
that's,
at a time.
That's one of the things that we struggle with in the community, right? Already, just as we started opening it, is that people want to do more. They want to incorporate more lifestyle changes all at once, and almost universally, it results in failure. Why? Because you're just not ready for that huge shift. Your brain resists that big shift, so you've got to take it slow. You know, we've got to pull people back all the time.
Yeah.
And say, look, you're doing too much. Just do this. Just drink the water this week. And let's
see
what happens.
Yeah, and it will work. Yeah, it will work. I promise. Just do it. It will work. Okay, the next one. I think you guys are going to like this one. Boobs and butts. So delve into that one.
Okay, the boobs and butts obstacle is this. Oftentimes people, especially, you know, we're talking about women here especially, they'll get started on a lifestyle or a weight loss program because they want to feel more confident. They want to feel more attractive. But what ends up happening is they start to notice that they're losing weight, but they're losing weight from their chest and their butts. And it causes a struggle within their mind because on one hand, they're in this to look and feel better, right? To look more confident, to look more attractive. And simultaneously, they're seeing that the things that they feel most proud of, as far as their physicality is concerned, is what's starting to leave their body.
Diminish, right? Right. So where you want to see the change happening isn't always where it's going to happen first,
and it's oftentimes the last area where you want it to happen.
Whatever your problem area is, and I'm very confident in saying this, whatever your problem area is, it will be the last to go.
Right.
And if that's something that you focus on.
The big problem here is this disconnect. When you have two opposing mindsets, it causes paralysis. So it's one of the reasons why they stop the lifestyle changes, because part of them is saying they need to lose weight to be and feel more attractive. The other part is saying losing weight is making me less attractive. And that's a big problem. You know, I call it story stifling. It is the story that we tell ourselves that stifles our progress. And even if you're, you know, talking about men or women here, I've heard it said that if you haven't achieved a goal that you want deep in your heart, if you haven't achieved it, it's because you're telling yourself a story that disempowers you. There's a story in your mind you're telling yourself. That story sometimes shows up in the form of, if I lose weight, I'll lose my boobs and my butt. It sometimes shows up if I lose weight, you know, I won't be able to have fun anymore. I won't be able to go out with friends. You know,
wear that certain top or wear those jeans or Yeah.
You would be amazed at the stories we tell ourselves. And I guarantee you, there isn't a single person listening to this podcast that isn't telling themselves some form of disempowering story in their brain. It doesn't always, you know, show up in lifestyle. It can show up in your career. It can show up in your relationships. It can show up in a lot of different ways. But when we're talking about diet and lifestyle, this is a big one. If, you know, we use the boobs and the butt as an analogy, but sometimes it is blatantly, literally, the boobs and the butt that are leaving that cause them to give in or give up.
Right, especially for women. And one thing I can confirm about that is when you are losing body fat, it always comes from the extremities first, or you notice from your extremities. You may notice one day while you're putting your watch on that your wrist looks more narrow. You may be shaving your legs and say, oh, I never really noticed that bump on my knee before, or I never noticed my ankle look like that before. You start to notice changes in your extremities. And the places that we hold more fat, boobs and butt, for women especially, that's where you're going to see change first. But here's the key. You have to stay the course. Your body will even out. Don't panic just because you see change where you don't expect to see change at first. Stay the course. And if at some point in the future, when you finally reach the body that you want, it doesn't look the way you perceived it looking, then we can move on from there. But don't become less healthy or less fit because you see change where you don't think change should be happening at the beginning.
And challenge the story. Challenge the story. Ask yourself, is this true? And if your mind says, yes, it's true, ask yourself, how do you know it's true? Not how do you think, why do you think it's true? How do you know for a fact it is true? And, you know, they've done studies on this where what people perceive, like what a male, for example, perceives as what females find attractive is not actually what females find attractive. And this has been proven in the research that, you know, if a man thinks, well, you got to have big arms and big chest and, you know, big legs in order to be attractive,
right,
or abs, when you ask women in a scientific setting what it is, they find that it's more the ratio, like your shoulders are probably more important to you, to the attractiveness to the opposite sex, than a lot of the other things that you think is what ultimately causes that. So trust me, if you are a man, you don't necessarily know what females find attractive. And if you are a female, you don't necessarily know what males find attractive. And by the way, there are a million different things that each person on this earth finds attractive than the other person. So
I was going to say, P.S., we're all different.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to the next.
And the final one, isn't it? This is the last one.
Well, I've got one and you've got one, actually. Mine is damning deprivation. And yours, I will tell you in just a minute.
Thank you.
I wrote it down for you.
Go ahead.
Okay, so damning deprivation. Now, this is something that I have experienced personally. And I find that the more people I work with, the more people I find that have also experienced this. And the easiest way to put this for me is just by telling you a story. And basically what happens is when you are restricting yourself. So, and diet does not have to be about restriction. Actually, I prefer that it doesn't focus on restriction. I prefer that we focus on getting as much great, good food that we enjoy in so we don't feel deprived. But I'm talking not even really about being deprived. I'm talking about like a mental deprivation. So sometime back, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago, I was getting ready for a show and I ended up having a big issue with shopping because I was trying to distract myself from stopping at every Starbucks I passed, stopping at every gas station, stopping at every grocery store, walking in to see, ooh, what could I have that actually fits into what I'm doing? What can I eat in here? Like, what can I buy to fit into my lifestyle right now? And I found that every time I went to do that, I was disappointing myself and I was becoming frustrated with myself because I was like, well, I can't have that. I can't have that. Can't have that. Okay, forget it. On to the next place. And I was like, ooh, Starbucks. What could I get at Starbucks? Well, let's see. I could have a black cup of coffee. Well, it's going to cost me $4, but I could just, well, stay at home and make one for 60 cents. You know, so I found that I kept falling into this thing and it was like several days in a row. And I was like, you know what? if I just go shopping, like to a clothing store, I can sit there and look through all the clothing I want. I can wish at all the clothing. I can try it on, but I'm not really disappointed in the fact that I can't have that. I can't have that. So I tried to shift my focus. But I think that when you set yourself up for being deprived, and this is the lesson I want everyone to grasp from this, is when you tell yourself, well, I can't ever have a cookie ever again. I'm never going to eat a cookie again. The next time you leave your house and you drive past a place that smells like cookies, you're probably going to wish you could stop. And at some point, you're going to either stop or go find a cookie maybe somewhere else. But don't tell yourself that you can't have things, because the moment you do that, you find yourself in repeated disappointment.
Right. Deprivation is what? It's the fear of missing out, right?
The fear of missing out. Yeah. And I guess I thought I was missing out on a bunch of food. I would never allow myself to go buy that food. But boy, was I wasting a lot of energy just looking at all the stuff I wish I could have. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And you know, okay. Yeah. There is something to be said about the fact that when you live a healthy lifestyle, you will miss out on certain things. But
sure,
you'll also gain a lot of things that a lot of other people don't have, like
energy.
And that's
the part we fail to see.
Right. It's hard to really grasp that, because a lot of these things are not tangible, right? So you'll have more energy, no doubt about that. Your energy level, if you're doing things right, if you're living a healthy lifestyle and you're losing weight in a healthy way, your energy levels will go up. And that gives you the ability to do many things that a lot of people don't. Your strength, right? There are a lot of people who can barely get out of a chair without really straining. You won't be that person. And sometimes we take that stuff for granted, but it also means you can do other things. You can do active lifestyle things that really bring excitement. You know, if you're really out of shape and riddled with arthritis, you can't jump off a cliff and do bungee jumping. It's hard for a lot of people to go and travel because they have so much pain or they can't walk for long periods of time. So there are a lot of things that you gain from this that you will not only not be missing out on, but things that you will ultimately be able to do that a lot of other people can't or eventually won't be able to do.
Right. I encourage anyone who is listening to this to go on to our Cut the Fat Facebook page, because one of the things I found that really works for a lot of people as far as eating is making a lateral shift. So I posted something about homemade chicken strips that my kids just absolutely love. I have all these recipes that I make, and most of them are kid friendly because, well, I'm not going to cook two separate meals. I mean, sometimes I do, but you know, only if I'm eating like eggplant and the kids are just like, nah, we don't want that. But you know, finding stuff that is good and you enjoy it, that's just healthier than the choice you would have made. So instead of going through a drive-thru and getting chicken nuggets, come home and make the chicken strips that I put up on our Cut the Fat page. They're delicious. Give it a try. I call them lateral shifts, making lateral shifts. So if every Wednesday your habit or your routine is to go through a drive-thru on the way home from work and pick up chicken strips and take them home and sit on the couch and eat them, instead of taking the time to go through the drive-thru, swing by the grocery store. They take maybe 10 minutes to cook. So by the time you take your shoes off and, you know, get yourself ready, you've got 10 minutes to commit to a healthier lifestyle, and they taste absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
So finding lateral shifts that work for you. And there's a ton of them on the Cut the Fat Facebook page. I put most of my dinner foods up there anyway, sometimes breakfast.
And, you know, the bottom line, though, you got to remember, life's not going to be the same. You know, it's not going to be the same after you make a healthy lifestyle shift. A lot of things will have to change, and that's okay. That's the thing, is if you're telling yourself that it's not okay, then that is a struggle you will never end, and you'll always have difficulty. But if you start to tell yourself that there are other things, and you start to really list them out to your mind, these are the things that are going to change in my life for the positive from all these changes, and start bringing them to the surface, it will help. You know, it's not going to make things 100% easy, but it will help.
Right, and I think that's a really important point that you mentioned. And the last one is the lonely scale.
Yes, the lonely scale. So the scale, I like to use the scale, Blythe. I'm not against the use of the scale, but when the scale is used as the sole mechanism for evaluating your progress, guess what? You're in store for some major, major disappointment, because the scale does not give you sufficient levels of information. It is a great tool to implement when two things are true. Number one, you're losing weight the right way, meaning that you are not trying to starve away your fat.
Right.
And number
because two, that won't work.
Yep. And it will, it, you know, that's what causes scale stagnation. And number two, you're combining you're giving a friend, you're bringing a friend or introducing the scale to a friend. The friend is usually in the form of measurements or body fat percentages, mm-hmm. or some, at least one other way of evaluating your progress. So both of those things have to be true. You have to, number one, do things right. And number two, you have to introduce your scale to a friend.
Okay. I like that rule. I think that's awesome. And, you know, we've got a lot of people in our community that are experiencing some frustration is probably the word I want to use with the scale. And there's so much to be learned about that. There are so many other avenues where you can still see progress. In fact, you can see a lot of progress. And the scale's not moving, and it just takes a little bit of time. So.
Right, and in the community, you know, we have the ability to go in and see everybody's measurements. Right, we try to get people to weigh in every day because number one, mm-hmm. that helps people to refocus themselves. You know, when you know that you're hopping on that scale, it does make you want to do better during the day with your lifestyle. But number two, it gives us more data points. And you and I can go in and see how people's bodies are changing. Now, we like to have people do measurements in addition to the scale. And one thing we're noticing is that even when people's scales are going stagnant, they're seeing changes in their measurements. And we can actually see that. And sometimes we just have to remind people that, hey, yeah, you know, you haven't lost any weight for the last 2 or 3 days, but look at your measurements. They're already changing.
Right. No. And sometimes it just takes a little friendly reminder.
Yep.
Okay. All cool. Right. Great podcast today.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. I think it was full of information.
Yes. And so if you guys want to touch base with us, hop on Facebook. Just search for Cut the Fat Podcast. You can find us there. If you're interested in the Cut the Fat Coaching Club, we're going to be opening and closing that the club so that we take on members, make sure we serve those members. And then once everybody's situated in there and from time to time, we're going to open it back up to take on new members. So go to cutthefatcoachingclub.com. That's where you'll find information about that. If we are not taking members at the time, you'll be able to get on the waiting list so that you're one of the first to gain entrance when we do open it up again. So definitely hop on there. cutthefatcoachingclub.com is the website for finding more information about that. And then Cut the Fat Podcast is the other website that we have. And that's our primary podcasting website. That's all I got. What else?
That's about it. I think if you guys are interested in anything in particular, feel free to send us a message through Facebook. I've been really diligent about going in and responding to the messages. If not right away, then, you know, within, you know, the day. And we've got a couple people on there asking questions. Just, could you do a podcast about this or this? We love to do mailbag podcasts. So if, you know, we can collect a little sack of questions, then we can go in and pull from the sack and answer some questions. And those are always fun too, because if you have a question and you're asking, somebody else is asking that question too.
Right. And they help us to mold the topics of the podcast as well. So we may not do a mailbag show per se, but you'll find that a lot of the questions we get are then incorporated into topics that we talk about. So definitely, if you want to help mold us, mold the direction of where we take the podcast as far as, you know, topics go, just simply ask questions. That's all you got to do.
Right. We do the podcast for you guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. We'll see you next
time.
Have a
great day.
Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye now.